Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I couldn't let go of it. She wasn't getting out of that one.
Misha Tate, ladies and gentlemen.
Islam Makhachev submits Drew Dober.
Wow. I just choose easy way. Take him down, make him tight, and make him tap, and that's it.
Islam Makhachev.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. We're dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Hey, Matt. Good show today. We have Misha Tate. Islam Makhachev. I almost said versus Islam Makhachev, but no, they're not fighting. They're both promoting the fights this Saturday, which would be
Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of promoting, I'm sorry. Who is Longo? Is he blowing the person that's doing the pitches for the UFC website for the promotion? He looks good.
He does. Looks very good.
UFC Unfiltered promo. For him and your friend Jim Florentine.
Yeah.
Look at that picture of Longo.
I know.
Well, hold on.
I know. I saw it. They both look very sexy, like two dreamy model photos.
I mean, we don't. Is it the angle with me and you? I don't think we look like that with the.
No, we don't. And neither do they.
They both have hair. All right, let's start again.
No, we don't need to. I think it's great. I don't think that they look particularly great. They just look better than us. Which my fat neck, it's not hard to look better than me. I mean, I'm not exactly a high bar.
Why the fuck are you lumping me in there with you?
Well, I mean, because let's be honest, you're a better looking of the two of us, but that's not a giant accomplishment.
So I'm not that good looking now.
You are, but I mean, I'll have to sit a handsome guy in here with you and see how it goes.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey, listen, I got that rugged little... husky little.
Yeah.
I have a look to me.
Yeah.
First of all, charm and personality could make which is probably already an eight. You can't say an eight because of the height.
No.
You can't say the girls. No. A lot of girls like height. So listen to me.
Yeah.
A lot of people like height. I'll say. I don't know, Jimmy. All I know is I might not be an eight.
No.
But with my personality,
sure.
Off the charts.
You're a funny six.
Jimmy, let's get right to today's show.
Yes. We have Islam is fighting Thiago Moises on that's the main event, obviously. It's Makhachev versus Moises. And yeah. Marion Renault and Misha Tate are the co-main. We have Misha back today. So this is really, really interesting. I'm happy she's fighting again. I'm happy she's we talked about it. Will she come back? Won't she? 5 years off. So you wonder what that does to a person. Does that do anything to a person? And it'll be interesting to see how some time off Nick Diaz, Robbie Lawler. That's a 5-round rematch at UFC 266. I mean, how amazing is that?
I mean, that's an interesting fight to make, you know, but I think a lot of people always wanted to see that rematch.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think of it?
I think it's great. I mean, they kept saying Nick was going to fight, Nick's going to fight. And Dana the last time said it, he goes, no, he's going to fight in 2021. And Robbie Lawler is a perfect matchup. I mean, obviously they have a history and they're both veterans. It's not like there's a 38-year-old guy or a 40-year-old guy fighting a 22-year-old guy. It's a great matchup. It's great.
It is a great matchup.
It's exactly what you want to see.
And it's two guys I like that I want to get a payday anyway.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Listen, and how old is he's 36 now?
I would have to look that up.
I'm talking about Nick. Oh, he's 37.
Isn't it funny how this is their first fight was 17 years ago, and then other rematches like Poirier-Connor happened in 6 months. It's just weird how paths cross, and no, there's no reason for it. I'm sure they could have fought sooner. I'm happy they made the fight.
Islam Makhachev is, I mean, he could be the next big thing. You know what I mean? He's already kicking ass.
Yeah.
But people know him.
Lost one fight.
Those who really know him, like Habib, who's known him since they were training together, since they were children.
Yep.
And guys like DC, you know, Daniel Cormier. He's also, he cannot speak, you know, highly enough of this Islam, you know? I mean, I love watching him fight. I think he's super well-rounded. I mean, if you look what he did to a talented guy like
Drew Dober,
I mean, yeah. it was in the third round, but it was a one-sided fight.
He manhandled him that whole fight. And no, I never thought I'd see Drew Dober lose that way. Like, I knew I'd see him lose, but I never thought I would see him dominated. It was like when you saw Ferguson dominated by Charles Oliveira. It's a shock to see a guy who's that good be so completely dominated by another guy on the ground.
Should we start to look at the fights here, or you want to wait for that? We can do that now. I mean, we have Misha coming on soon.
Whatever you want, buddy. I'm with you.
Jimmy.
You do whatever you like.
Absolutely.
You're stealing the ship, whatever you want to do. Do whatever you want with the ship.
I get tongue-tied sometimes, Jimmy.
That's okay.
I'm steering the ship.
Yep.
Okay.
By the way, aren't you happy that we love Billy Quarantillo, and he's fighting Gabriel Benitez. It's the opening fight of the main card. And we like Billy a lot. He's a tough dude. He's always a fun guy to watch fight. He lost to Tucker the last time out, but he's still a really, really fun guy to watch.
He really is, but I guess you just took over the fucking reins of the ship.
I once got it out, I go, okay, I'm steering.
You go, oh, that's great. Billy Q.
Jimmy,
if we rewound that, it would go, all right, Matt, there you go. You got it. Go ahead, Skipper. You got the all. Billy Q. Or the next sentence, the next word.
But sometimes a good first mate will tell the skipper, look, there's something in the water. That's all I was doing. It was just not. It was not telling you which way to. It was just something that I know a guy you like.
Ah, fuck. Oh, Jimmy. God, you steer it. I don't want to steer the ship.
No, me neither. I hate steering.
You know. All I know is we got fights this weekend. I'm having a little party. For my
Good. What time are we starting the party?
Oh shit. Hey, you're welcome. What are you doing this Saturday? You're back on the road though, you told me.
No, I'm back in August. I got shows though Saturday. Yes.
Oh, you're doing shows. Okay. Well, I was gonna ask you. It's a little thing in my yard, you know. It's like you ever see Rodney King when he gave his daughter when he had the wedding thing in his, and I'm like, it's nothing like that. And easy money. You know, it's easy money.
You said Rodney King.
Easy money.
You said Rodney King. Rodney Dangerfield, Rodney King. Yeah, I tell you, can't we all get along? Yeah, I tell you.
There's not a lot of Rodneys out there.
Yeah, I know. That's how it's inexcusable.
Everybody, I'm sorry.
Rodney King and Rodney Dangerfield.
The point is, I love everybody.
Yeah, I tell you.
Hold on, Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, there you
go. Easy Money. Okay, that movie. You ever see that movie?
I love that movie with Joe Pesci and Tom Noonan. Yes, Taylor Negron.
The party on the in the what is that was I was in the yard or was it on the roof? Didn't they have the party?
They had a, I think it was a wedding. A wedding. I think it was on the roof.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be nothing like that. But anyway.
Jennifer Jason Leigh is in that movie.
Oh, that's such a good movie, dude.
Yeah.
Such a
good movie. Yeah, Pesci was really funny in that. That's a very underrated movie.
Hey, you know who you're talking to? I did the plumbing in his place. He's like, yeah, no wonder it stinks. He's jumping over the bar. And that was before Goodfellas, way before that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was after Raging Bull.
Oh, shit, Jimmy.
My guess is this, Matt. I think that was 1982.
I love that movie.
I do, too. Easy Money. Yeah. Tele Negron was the guy who was a comedian. You'll know if you see him. He had a bunch of parts in films like that, like comedies of the 80s. He worked a lot. And Jennifer Jason Leigh was Rodney's daughter, and he like wanted to marry her.
Oh, such a good. It's a rated R. He's trying to stick to a diet, and he gets. It's almost like he has to lose weight to get the will for the lady. It's almost like Bruce's Millions a little bit. Like,
yeah,
not really, but there was something to it where he was a total like degenerate with gambling and
yeah,
and then like you know going out with the guys and whatever it was, and he had to change his stuff around. Change his life around by 30 days. How many? I don't know.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But anyway, was that before or after Caddyshack?
That was 83. Easy Money was 83. Caddyshack was.
He seems like he was younger in Easy Money.
No, I think Caddyshack was first because Caddyshack made him a huge star. I'm going to say 1982. Let me guess. Caddyshack.
All right. Maybe Misha knows about this. We got Misha.
Is she in? 1980. Wow. Caddyshack. Yeah. He was famous before that, but that made him like a household name. Caddyshack.
Which one was first? Easy Money.
Caddyshack was 3 years earlier.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think Easy Money is the superior movie. You know, Caddyshack was fun. Caddyshack's a classic. Take away a star for the gopher.
I hated the gopher. I hated that. Ain't nobody worried about me. Yeah, I hated it. I fucking hated that gopher.
I hated that fucking gopher.
Me too.
All right, let's get going.
Let's bring in the great Misha Tate. Today's episode is brought to you by Devour, the official frozen meal of the UFC. They put big flavor first with premium meats, creamy sauces, and gooey cheeses. How good does this sound, Matt? Check out their buffalo chicken mac and cheese the next time you're in the freezer aisle.
It's
smothered in a spicy buffalo cheddar cheese sauce that'll knock your socks off. Or how about their loaded potatoes with Angus beef and bacon? God, that sounds good. It's, you guessed it, loaded with crispy bacon and delicious hunks of Angus beef. It sounds so good. Whatever you choose, Devour Meals is the new favorite frozen meal.
I love Devour, Jimmy, and I'm gonna get nuts with the meals, Jimmy.
Devour Meals, the official frozen meal of the UFC.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
There's Misha.
How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Very well. I guess you got a few days left. How you feeling?
Yeah, just a few more. It's crazy. It's crazy to say it's fight week again. Like, I just feel like I didn't skip a beat though. It feels normal. I feel like I'm at home. I'm enjoying the process. So nothing too out of the norm here, as odd as that sounds, as long as it's been.
Misha, first of all, great to see you. It's been a while. So nice to see you.
Thanks.
How long has it been since you fought? How many years?
It's been a little over about four and a half years.
Wow.
I know, it's crazy. But I feel like it's like that old friend that you haven't spoken to in years and you just pick up right where you left off. It's like, that's really how I feel. So it feels very normal.
What about the training, the sparring, when you first got back to that? Because I'm sure you kept in shape. Were you sparring this whole time you were off and stuff like that? There's certain things you do only for a fight. You can be in shape, normal shape, but there's normal shape, but it's some abs and you're jumping on the treadmill. And then there's the fight camps and whatnot. How was it getting back to that fight camp and the sparring and et cetera?
Absolutely. So when I first started getting back into sparring, obviously I had my son, and then that was not like, it was actually about a year ago now that I was making the decision that I was going to come back to fight. So in hindsight, where I was a year ago, I was just barely postpartum. I decided I wanted to fight again, but I knew I had a lot of work to even try to get, you know, to that kind of shape, to what you're talking about. I was in, you know, postpartum shape. I worked out through my pregnancy, but then it started with like one step at a time on the treadmill. Then I started when I could, getting into rolling, right? I felt like jujitsu was what I could do. And then I got into the kickboxing, boxing, sparring. And, when I first came back in, you know, sure. Like I was slow. I was sluggish. I was kind of like the timing and all those things were off, but I just kept working really hard at it. And it was just like riding a bike. Like it just comes back to you, you know, it didn't take me very long before I felt like I was able to hang with the best in the room again, you know? So I did all of that. I planned this out to where I would have plenty of time to prepare properly and be now in better shape than I feel like I was when I left the sport.
You're young. I mean, what are you, 34, I think? You know that you left for the right reasons and you're coming back at still a very young age. It's like you're not coming back at 39 just looking to fight one more. So it's got to make you feel good that you know you still have a lot of years left if you choose to stay. You know, this is not going to be a one and done.
Yeah. Oh no, this is not a one and done. This definitely, like, get it out of anybody's head. Like, not a cash grab. This is not a one and done deal. Like, I'm here to fight. I want to be a champion again. You know, in my mind, I'm kind of dedicating 2 years, but you know, there's the short term, long term, midterm goals. And right now that's just what I see. My foreseeable future is like to become a champion within that 2 year span, but it could be more, I guess potentially could be less, but you know, right now I have my eyes and heart set on giving my all for the next 2 years.
And you have two kids, right?
Two
kids. So like when you, obviously when you're pregnant and you're having a baby, it's something you're doing. It's something you're working towards and something you have to concentrate and focus on. And then you have your two children. Is it like, okay, now I don't have anything to focus on, so now I can look at fighting again? Was it one of those things where like, this is what I'm doing now, this is the thing I'm doing? Because it's impossible to do, obviously, when you're having kids.
You know what? I felt like I needed to do this for myself. That's really what it came down to, is like, it was something that was speaking to me that I felt like I had to do. It was all really the pandemic's fault. Like, so that's why I'm fighting again, I think, is the pandemic removed the sport completely from my life. Right. And then you realize, oh, I really love this. I really miss it. But not only that, but I just all of a sudden had this desire to want to compete again. And, having my kids has just added a wonderful lightheartedness to my training, to my camps. And, you know, there's a lot of my focus required as a mother, but it's so much more fulfilling to have the focus on myself and have the polarity of going to the gym and being a fighter and punching people and, you know, getting that kind of aggression out, and then coming home and loving on my children and putting my babies to sleep. You know what I mean? I think I told you guys before, like, I'm still nursing my son, you know, he's just barely turned 1 year old. And so I feel like I have this incredible bond with my children as a mother, and it's just rounded my camp out in the most beautiful way.
I thought maybe it was like one too many episodes of Rugrats and you're like, yeah, put me back in the cage. No,
I tell you what, losing weight this camp has been no problem. My butt does not hit a seat all day long. I'm chasing a 3-year-old or a 1-year-old, or I'm at the gym. So this has been the easiest weight drop I've ever had.
Is nursing, I know nothing about it. Is it physically draining at all or no? Is it not? Like, does it make you, is something that makes a person tired or no?
No, you know, the nursing is, it's wonderful. I mean, it burns more calories, so I get to eat more food. I look at it that way. It's giving my son extra work and extra nutrition, excuse me. And it's easy. You know, I'm only feeding my son. I do two times a day and once in the morning and once at night. And I love that bond. It's, you know, I'm not ready to let go of that. Sure. Juicy's been incredibly accommodating with the whole process because I still have to have access to my son at right now. So it's really cool to be able to do it all.
Yeah. It might be a dumb question. I have no kids and I don't know how that affects a mother who's, if there's any effect, I have no idea. I know nothing about children, obviously.
Are you bringing your children with you for the fight?
No, I won't be bringing them because it's close. It's a close venue, so there won't be any audience or anything like that. And I won't be able to bring my kids, but I will see my son the day of the fight. I'll nurse him before I go and fight just to try to ensure I'm as empty as possible going into the fight.
Now, speaking of that, with cutting weight, I'm thinking like every, you know, I've cut weight and like every little bit counts. So because you're nursing, do you like have to bring a pump with you or something? I know because my wife was always pumping and stuff. She had a thing attached to her. I have a few kids. Do you have to do that? Do you have to like...
Do I have to do... What was that? You broke up a little bit.
Oh, no. Do you have to bring a pump with you to like make sure like...
Oh, if you're... No. So I pumped up. I pumped a lot the first 6 months. I actually donated over 300 ounces of breast milk to kids in need, mothers who can't breastfeed or for what medicine or whatnot. So like preemies and babies who really life could depend on having a mother's milk. It's just amazing what milk can do for it's a living organism, right? So it can go into a baby and have healing properties. So I donated all that milk, but then the milk supply is low enough now where the pump doesn't work for me anymore at this point. So it's just really just my son. Like he's the only one that can get the milk out. So I don't know why, but the pump just kind of stopped working. So
it's funny, those kids have no idea who they're probably getting, like the quality of athlete who is helping them. That's so awesome. Like if you're a kid and you're like, you know, you're small and you're going to be breastfed. I mean, who better than someone like Misha Tate or someone in the shape and in the health you're in?
It's all anonymous, I think. I just thought, you know what? I have an amazing milk supply and I have a gift to give. And if I can do it, then I want to be able to give back to, you know, some little babies that really, really, really need it. So I'm a huge advocate for breastfeeding if you can, and if you want to, I think it's just an amazing thing. So I was happy to kind of be able to share that with whatever little baby's got it. I'm just happy.
Does the lack of audience too, cause it's been a few years. Do you like that? Or do you like, does it take a little pressure off? Like, okay. I mean, I know obviously you're fighting like, hey, there's not going to be the audience, or does it lose something for you because there won't be those people to cheer for you?
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, it's been a while since I've been in there, but I feel like for me, I really believe, call me crazy. I don't think this is too crazy of an assumption though. It's like, I'm a fighter. That's who I am at the end of the day. So if you were to wake me up at midnight and say, Misha, you know, someone's stealing your kids, like you got to go, I'm fighting that person. Like, that's it. Like we're fighting, you know, if it cut, but there was a big, Cane Corso, like those big kind of mastiff dog. I was 7 months pregnant, six, seven months pregnant. And this dog tried to attack my little pincher. And I ended up in a fight with the dog, like wrestling the dog. And luckily the dog wasn't aggressive towards people, but I didn't have a second to even think. It's just who I am. Like, I was like, we're in a fight. Like, I didn't even have a second. I'm pregnant. I endangered my baby. Afterwards, the guilt, you know, cause you're like, oh my God, like, what if I, but it's who I am. I just can't change that about myself. So there's one thing I do not doubt is like, when push comes to shove, when the cage door closes, I will fight. I will show up. It doesn't matter if it's 4 years, 10 years, one day, like it's just in my blood. It's what I was born to do. And so I don't question that. But you know, what I really want to do is show my improved skill set. And I know that as much as I see it in training and I believe all that, like, I really want that to come out in this fight, and I'm hoping that it does. Have no question I'll fight, but I want to show everybody how much better I am, you know? And sometimes I know that takes a little while to come out. So if all goes well, everybody will really see how much work that I put into this and, you know, how much I've improved, right? That's what I want to show. I want to show how much I've improved.
And what about the opponent now? Did it matter to you who it was? Did you say, give me anybody? Or was, okay, I like this one. We matched up well, Marion.
Yeah, it didn't really matter to me. I didn't pick Marion. Marion was Mick's suggestion, you know, matchmaker. He said, you know, how about Marion? And I said, sounds good to me. Like, I'm not picky. I'm not choosy. You know, beggars can't be choosers. I just want to be back in the UFC. I want to fight. And, you know, I've been a fan of hers for quite some time. She's been so close to being a number one contender quite a few times. Solid win over Sarah McMahon, finishing, you know, an Olympic medalist in a triangle choke. And she also finished Jessica Andrade in a triangle choke as well. She's a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. She's very scrappy on the ground. She's technically sound on the feet. One of the things I would say that I've noticed, probably the flaw, if you will, because I don't think her game actually has a lot of holes. Like, she's pretty well-rounded. That's why she stays in fights and she loses split decisions, like very close decisions, but she maybe doesn't quite take that risk when she kind of needs to, you know, when it's that last round or there was the opportunity, it's kind of like, it just goes by her. She doesn't always take the risk. And I know I will, like, that's where, like, if this is a close fight by any means, like, I will take the risk, you know, I will put myself in whatever position I need to win this fight. And I think that's where I really stand above her in just kind of like the mental and emotional aspect, is that I'll go in places where I think other people may not. And I don't know, I haven't seen that from her yet, but I'm preparing for the very best, most unthinkable, greatest black belt in every area, Marion Renault, because, you know, she's solid. She's very underestimated. You know, people look at her and say, oh, you know, she's lost a few fights or whatever, but man, she's solid. She's got a really good game, and I expect it to be, you know, to be a challenging fight in at times, but I just know I'm better. And I know that this is the first step in all the goals that I want to achieve. And it's imperative that I win this fight for my trajectory and my goal. And I want this more, you know, this is her retirement fight. So she's going to bring everything she has left, right? Yeah. There's no more fights after this. She didn't have to save for anything else there. You know, this is her title fight. She has said she's always wanted to fight me, and this is a dream come true. And she's going to have her son in her corner. I mean, how much more motivating, like, for me as a parent and as a mother, if I had my children, either of them in the corner, I can't imagine how much of a charge that would bring to me. I think I will bring my children with me into the octagon mentally and emotionally, but to physically see them between rounds, you know, I'm sure that's going to do amazing things for her. And that may be the change. That may be the thing where she's like, you know what, my last fight, I'm going to risk it. And she could turn, you know, get very dangerous very quick. Right. So I've got to mind my P's and Q's and stay sharp and do everything that I plan to do. And, you know, I have no doubt that I'll win this fight, but, you know, confidence is costly, but I've definitely paid my dues.
Hey, Misha, how old is your son that's going to be in the corner?
My son is one.
Her son.
He's an adult. I around maybe 18 to 20, something around that age.
Now, are you prepared, Misha? I'm talking... Listen, forget all this nonsense. I'm talking to you just as a fighter, okay? An acquaintance. I know you, okay? I know you over the years. Are you prepared? You get mounted. Are you prepared as a mother to beat her down in front of her child? Are you prepared? Hey, you have kids too, Misha. No. Are you prepared to do it?
I am of a savage mindset right now. I have no fucks to give about that. Excuse my language.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to hear, Jimmy.
But I got babies at home too. You know what I mean? Ooh. And home to those babies as safe as I can. So I will get the job done in any way, shape, or form. And I'll say, I'm so sorry afterwards that I had to do that to you in front of your son, but this is business. You know? And I got a job to do, and she would do this. I would expect her to do the same if she was in Mount. So you know what? It's kill or be killed.
That's it.
Nothing personal.
Nothing personal. But absolutely.
Misha, you could afterwards, you could have that nice moment. Like Uriah Hall had a really nice moment with Anderson Silva after their fight. You could do that after, you know, after you do what you got to do.
Exactly. You know what? It just, I don't know, buy her a care package, whatever.
That's it. You know, chip in for the kids' therapy session. Listen, whatever it could be.
Precisely.
I'm only kidding. Hey, that's her decision.
That's
you
right.
brought that kid to this. Hey, that's on her.
Yep.
Misha, hey, I'm so excited that you're back. All that grit and that determination, everything that you described, it reminds me of how you won the title versus Holly Holm.
Yeah.
She was fighting masterful. You never faltered. Your focus was always there. You were going to get that belt. You did it. It was such a great fight. We're so happy you're back.
I appreciate that. Absolutely. And that mindset, you know, that perseverance mindset, I've still got that, but I've let so much of the toxicity go in my life that I feel like I'm in such a better place. So this truly is an upgraded version of myself. I am Tate 2.0. I'm sticking with it. And Saturday is my opportunity to showcase and show the rest of the world. So thank you guys.
Co-main event and against Marion Renault. We'll talk to you again, Misha. Congratulations on being back and being ready, and we'll see you soon. Okay.
So cool. Thank you guys.
I said bye-bye. I wanted to say goodbye and bye, and I went bye-bye. Should bye-bye. I give her a lemon drop out of my purse? What an old lady I am. Bye-bye now.
I think if I like was like if I ever tried comedy and I was – and Misha was in the audience and I was up there, I don't think she'd get any of my – I think she would just look at me and be like, what are you talking about? I'd be like, I flew here from Long Island, Misha. She would just look at me. I don't know if she really – got me, but listen, I like her a lot.
I do too. She's great.
And listen, Marion, how'd she pronounce her name?
Marion Renault.
Marion?
Yeah. People say Marion, but yeah, Marion Renault.
Misha's not going to be popular in the Renault household.
No, it was a funny question, though. I mean, it is.
Jimmy,
you know, like,
no mercy, Jimmy.
Beat her in front of her kids.
She's going to be in the corner. The kid's going to be crying. His mom's getting beat up. That is, hey, listen, Jimmy. That's when you need that heart of stone. You got to say, cancel Christmas, kid.
I was behind. Maybe Antonio can check this. I'm pretty sure. I want to say it was in New Jersey. Or maybe it was Vegas. When Jones beat Shogun. I think it was Shogun he beat for the title. Am I correct? I think I am. I was sitting behind Shogun's family.
Yeah.
While he was losing that fight. And there were people in his family who were crying. Like they were very, very upset that he was losing that fight. So yeah, your family does get.
Oh no, listen, Jimmy, you know, I got ADD. So I understand what you said. Hold on. He's getting that right. But I was reading something at the same time. So either you want to repeat it or you want to just, Shogun. Oh, I got you. You said Shogun's family was
I was sitting
upset.
Behind them in that fight. What year was that? Was that 2011 or 12?
Did you walk up and hug them or anything?
No, I don't know them. 2011. That's 10 years ago, that fight. Wow. But yeah, I was sitting behind them. And I was also sitting, Chael was fighting once. And his wife, who's his girlfriend at the time, was sitting like within a couple of seats of me. And I could see how she was reacting watching. So the families are very, very affected. We all know that. But when you see them up close, you're like, wow, they react the way you never get used to that. I'm sure watching somebody you love lose a fight or be hit.
I mean, that's not something, it's not fun.
No, I'm sure.
You know, but at the same time, you know what is fun?
What?
The fight that Islam Makhachev.
Oh, yeah.
Fighting. When you think of Thiago, how do you pronounce his last name?
Moises. Yeah.
What is his UFC record? I'm looking for it. All right. He's 4-2 in the UFC. Thank you. But tell me who Islam lost to in the UFC. I know he's 8-1. All right. How is that B? Adriano Martins.
Yeah, that was a 192.
Oh, that was a while ago.
Yeah, yeah. First round KO.
All right. Well, listen, shit happened.
15. Oh, it's right in front of me. He's saying, I'm reading it, but he's right. Antonio wrote it. Thank you, Antonio.
Yeah. So, Jimmy, excited about the – want to talk about the fights, or you want to talk about what you're doing this weekend?
I'm honestly, Matt, I'm working and watching the fights. I mean, I'm on stage again. I'm getting ready. I'm going to be in Madison, Wisconsin in August for my first road gig. Oh. So I'm just going through. It's really weird. The comedian's rust is much different and less dangerous than a fighter's rust. But there really are things in life that have become automatic over the years, that you become fluid things when you have to start and stop them after a year. You really do feel every joke or every lie, or you have to think about things that you didn't have to think about a year ago. Where does this go? What does that do? So that's what I've been dealing with, is just thinking, trying to get through it without thinking, just doing it, like, and letting it just kind of flow. But that just comes with repetition.
Are you trying new stuff, or are you just the timing is?
Well, I haven't been on stage in a year.
So that's timing? Is that the timing?
Timing, the memorization. Me and Colin have been talking about that a lot. The memorization. Just remembering, oh yeah, my fuck, that went there, blah, blah. You know, it's just all this shit to remember. That's all.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to the show, Islam. How are you?
Good, good. How are you guys?
Oh, good. Let me just turn you up a little bit. How are you feeling?
Feel good. Have to cut 10 more pounds.
Oh.
Islam, that I feel for you, man. I wouldn't want to talk to us two knuckleheads when you got to get this weight off. That's horrible. I feel for you, man.
You understand that, I know.
We'll try to make it a little bit better than the average, like lemons, like Ariel Helwani. We'll try to have a little fun. We are your biggest fans, my man. You understand?
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm your biggest fan. Me. Not Jimmy so much. Me. I like the way you fight.
So do I.
Jimmy.
Yes.
I talk about Islam all the time, though.
Yes, you do.
Miss you when you fight. Drew Dober is no lemon. He is tough. You know what I mean? He's a tough guy. Well-rounded. You look like you are on a different level.
Because, brother, we have, you know, Dagestan have different level of wrestling skills. That's why.
Now, what is that? How is it? Is it just the dedication? I seen where you grew up, and I'm like, man, must be rough getting Wi-Fi there. No, well, Jimmy, he lives in the
village, right?
The mountains. It was beautiful, though. Beautiful, but what is it about, you know, in Dagestan, what is it with the wrestling? How are you guys? Because, yes, us Americans, we start young. I'm sure they do that in Russia, too. I'm over there. You're in Russia. But what is it about specifically Dagestan that makes you guys so great with the wrestling?
But I think, like, 90%, like, everybody did wrestling because this is, like, national sports in Dagestan. That's why people love this sport. We have many, many Olympic champions. And USA have like national sport like football, but Dagestan we have wrestling.
When you were a kid, I was reading that you would fight kids from the city. Would you fight them in wrestling matches or in just in fights in school?
I did both sometimes. wrestling, sometimes MMA. When I was young, I'm completely love it, like amateur wrestling, amateur sambo, amateur, like many sports.
And you have 10 pounds, you said, to cut, right? It's Wednesday today, Thursday, Friday. So 3 days. Is this heavy for you, or is this the schedule you normally keep?
This is normal. I have almost same schedule all the time, because I have scheduled and I follow all the time. I wake up today, did like a couple, like 20 minutes running, a little bit bikes, a little bit sweats, and come to make media day.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. No, it's not going to be as an important question, because I seen where he grew up and I'm like, wow, man, it's hardcore. It's beautiful, the mountains. And then when he goes to train with...
Yeah, man, you have to come to Dagestan one day.
Me? I'd go there in a heartbeat, man.
And you're going to understand, because you're going to open like all gyms. Like all gyms is full. A lot of kids training there.
Yeah?
All people love sports.
When you're at AKA in on the West Coast, where is it? San Jose, right? Yeah. Are you at the beach and stuff? Do you like take advantage of all? Because you're used to the polar opposite. You're used to the cold, the mountains. When you're in Cali, are you just like hanging at the beach and being like, look at this? This is nice.
California, like San Jose, almost same, because like a lot of mountains and. We have in Dagestan, Caspian Sea, in California, have a lot of beautiful
San Jose,
beach.
Is it Northern California?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I've never been there. This is your first main event, right?
Yeah.
So that means more press, more promotion. In addition to the fight, how are you feeling about it going in, and what's different about it than your other fights?
I'm very excited because this is... my first main event, a lot of media now follow me. But about main event, like five round, I'm always training hard. That's why I'm ready for five round, three round, doesn't matter how many rounds.
And is the extra media a strain at all, or does it take getting used to doing the extra media?
When you cut weight, like extra media, just take your little bit power, you know?
Yeah.
A little bit hard, but this is part of the game.
Yep.
Now, your opponent, Thiago Moises, do you study a lot of his fights, or do you let your camp study it and they tell you, hey, watch out for this, watch out for that?
I watched his couple fights, like last three fights in UFC. He beat Michael Johnson, Alexander Hernandez. He beat like tough guys. I know he have good striking, good jiu-jitsu. I cannot like underestimate him. I have to be ready, you know, focus, ready.
Was Drew Dober, because Drew Dober's a strong guy, but you didn't seem to have any trouble controlling him. Was he as strong as you expected him to be, or did he bring anything different than you were expecting from him?
If I stay in with him in stand up, like if I try to strike him with him, like it's going to be like, you know, not close fight, it's going to be 50-50, but I know I have more than him in wrestling game. Why I have to strike with him? I can take him down, make him tired, and I can strike him with him.
And you said you fight, or I've read that you fight more than a title. You're fighting for Dagestan, for the country of Dagestan. What does that mean for pride in your country, or to bring for people to be aware of Dagestan? And
not because now, like everybody know Khabib, like, a lot of people love MMA. They need new champion, you know. That's why I'm always training hard. And one day, I'm gonna come to Dagestan with both.
Guys like you and definitely Khabib don't seem to be driven by money. Like I'm amazed that Khabib was able to say no to certain fights, because he didn't just take the money. He could have, but he said, no, I don't want to do that. And he didn't do it. So what is it that motivates you guys? It's very interesting to me that you guys don't seem greedy at all. You seem like you're motivated by something other than money.
I'm motivated because, you know, a lot of people in Dagestan, like all Dagestan follow me, waiting for my fight. That's why I just want to show people around the world my skills, my game, and just have to training hard. You know.
How old were you when you started training?
When I go school, 7, 8.
Oh, okay. Did you have another job growing up? Like, did you do other jobs, or has this always been your job?
I have a lot of hobbies. You know, I like fishing. I like motorbike. I have motocross. I did sometimes, and I have a lot of horses. You know, I have farm.
Outdoors. You like outdoor stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a terrible fisherman. I'm a bad fish. I don't think it's relaxing. I never catch anything. I just sit there with my pole in the water. I don't know how you catch fish. I'm horrible.
2 weeks ago, I catch very big shark in San Francisco.
You caught a shark?
Yeah.
How big? The size of Jimmy? Jimmy's not too big.
No, I'm small.
Big, like maybe, like maybe 50 something pounds.
So now what do you do when you catch it? Do you bring it into the boat? Do you throw it back? Do you pull the hook out of its mouth?
We bring to the boat, and the captain say shark not so tasty. That's why we put back.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think I'd want to eat a shark.
No.
And we catch a halibut.
Halibut tastes good, though.
Yeah, real taste.
So did you eat that?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Good,
see,
good for my diet, you know.
It's good for your diet, right? Yeah. What is the main thing you eat? Do you eat mostly fish? Do you eat red meat when you're training?
Now I have like 5 weeks. I eat in the morning, I eat 2 eggs. Lunch, I eat a little bit chicken and vegetables, sometimes a little bit rice. And dinner, I have just fish and vegetables.
Well, I'm happy for you that you got a main event. I mean, we really do love watching you fight. You're a very scary guy. For anyone who's got to deal with you, and with Habib, you know, as close to you as he is, you know, I think you have obviously a very long and bright future in the UFC. So good luck on Saturday, Islam. I hope you have a great fight, and we look forward to watching you for many years to come.
Thank you, mate. We're gonna waiting for you in Dagestan.
Oh, dude, I'll take that invitation. Next time Javi's going, I'll jump with him, with Coach Javi. Thank you so much, Islam. We'll be watching, brother.
All right, good luck on Saturday night.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
I'm going to Dagestan. Let's film that. Let's film that. Let me wrestle a bear. No, I'm not wrestling a bear.
But they are. Aren't they interesting, Matt? Like, when you think of the fact that Habib, and I just don't get it. My mind doesn't work that way. But the amount of money he could make, and he's just like, no, I'm done, and that's it. There's a different breed of person.
Now, I've been telling you, listen, some people don't give a fuck, dude. Yeah. I'm telling you now, quality of life, that's what it's about. You know, giving back. You're giving back to the community with your comedy. You're helping people's lives. You understand?
No,
all right, let's get to me. I'm empowering people with jiu-jitsu. No, you are, Jimmy. You are. You brave. I know one guy whose day you brighten. Jimmy, I watched that. You're mean. You're a mean little bird. I fucking hate you. Oh, shit. Oh. I was going to say, I watched that clip of me greeting you at the door.
That was funny. Yeah, it was great. I haven't seen any more. I actually know we saw one more. I saw two more water bugs, and then I bought spray and put glue traps. I have not seen anything else the last couple days.
You think a water bug's going to keep me from coming back the next time you invite me
dude,
over?
Dude, that fucking thing, you right at home. That thing was giant.
That one, I thought it was... that thing in Beetlejuice when the thing was in there, like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, it was massive. No,
it wasn't that big. Jimmy, really quick, let's just do a little quick preview. Nah, 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 nah. Oh, I'm on the last episode of Black Summer, the second season. It flew by. You got nothing better to do. You want to watch some zombies? Give that a shot.
Yep.
You know, my head look weird.
No.
Okay. Where was I? All right, well, listen, I'm looking forward to this, the return of Misha Tate.
Yeah.
You know, and Marion Renault's last fight. And she's a great fighter. Oh, hey, Jimmy,
Yeah.
Also, we have Jeremy Stevens fighting. Who's he fighting?
He's fighting.
You're the worst friend. I mean, you're not even a friend. You're mean.
No.
You're a mean man.
He's fighting Gamrot. But yes. You're right. He was. Who was he supposed to fight? Jacare Clos. And yeah, after that shoving incident, maybe Clos is still hurt. I don't know. But that's a goddamn shame if that happened.
Steer the thing. I didn't steer the ship once. I don't want to steer the ship.
You did steer. You did a good job.
I'm the first mate. Could you just steer us out of here, please?
All right, listen. Don't forget.
An iceberg or something. Let's go.
This Saturday night, it's UFC Fight Night, Makhachev versus Moises. It's at the Apex in Vegas. And it's a great fight, obviously. Makhachev, Moises is the main event. Marion Renault and Misha Tate is the co-main. Prelims are on ESPN, ESPN Plus, 7 o'clock. And 10 p.m. is the main card this Saturday night. I do think this Makhachev absolutely has the potential to be the lightweight champion. So you know, anytime he fights, I'm going to watch him.
Hey, and I was giving my review of the Tomorrow War, but I didn't get finished yet. I'm almost done. I don't think it's bad. Some people will message me. What do you have? That was shit. What do you? Hey, dude, listen. What am I, fucking Roger Ebert? What am I, Gene Siskel? Hey, I tell you what I like. If you don't like it, I don't want to hear about it. Okay. If you do like it, say, oh, great. All right. Anyway, listen, but I'm telling you, the aliens are cool. They got some father daughter stuff going on where it's like there's some emotional stuff there. So I can
relate to
that. So yeah, now you can do worse than that with that Chris Pratt show, that movie, Tomorrow War. That's one of the fans though. They like to know these little nuggets.
Sure.
Other than that, everybody, you can catch me at Sarah BJJ in Huntington, Long Island, giving out arm locks. Jimmy, I'm on Cameo, just like you and Chip Chipperson and Doug Bell.
Yep. Yep, cameo.com/Jim Norton or Matt Serra. I'm not on the app. Matt might be on the app. I'm not on the app. I'm only on the site. And watch the fights this Saturday, and we will see you on Monday.
Goodbye, Jimmy.
Bye, buddy.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.